My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice of where you can listen each and every day. Thank you for keeping it tuned here. Hour number 2, and if you missed any of our abridged conversation with David Justokas, we will have that up, and I would encourage you to give that a listen. We talked a little bit about the Trump trial that's going on right now. Don Jr. is supposed to testify today. Eric is testifying tomorrow. Ivanka is testifying on Friday. And President Trump is scheduled to testify on Monday in the matter that has been brought by Letitia Adams. And so we'll have to see what that all turns into. And we got some analysis from David on that. We also got some analysis on a appellate decision regarding the J6ers and what's called U.S. Code 1512. And a courageous judge has actually dissented with regards to the majority on whether or not the 300 plus J6 defendants had intent to do what they're being accused of, and that's really the issue, is intent. So we'll see where that goes. All right. Let's see. Let me bring my next guest. Let me bring my next guest onto the camera here. Hang on. Let me do that or do that. And we'll do that. We'll do that. And then we'll zig and we'll zag. There we go. Hello. Melanie Collette joins me.
Hello,
Melanie, welcome.
There, Pastor Greg. How are you this morning?
Hey, you know what? I think I'm doing okay. I don't know for certain, but I think I'm doing all right.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, yeah. We're pushing through. We're pushing through. All right. Let's. I wanted to visit with you a little bit about the. Okay, that won't work there. I wanted to visit with you a little bit about BLM. Well, and about this whole Hamas thing, I guess we'll get your thoughts with regards to that whole situation. But, we have another entity. As a matter of fact, I saw a commercial about, and this one was kind of a pro-Israel, and because we've seen so much assault on Jewish Americans and attacks, and we watch what happened in Russia, and it's happening all around the world, which is a major issue. But once again, it's dragging civil rights and LGBTQ together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like to talk a little bit about that, if we could. And then this issue of BLM, and I've seen, I saw several social media posts in the early days about individuals associated with BLM basically saying it's our time to rise up and basically take down the, patriarchal white man, whatever, and basically take America down.
What if they spent as much time as they spend being hateful? What if they spent that time doing something good? Why don't you offer to tutor an inner city kid who can't afford it? Why don't you donate some computers to a public school in an impoverished area? Like, why can't they do something positive? Instead, this is what they choose to do.
Well, and why not, help, let's help get the prostitutes off the streets. Let's help get the drug addicts off the street. Let's break up the crack houses.
Why don't you clear a path of needles for the students who are walking to school and have to go through that every day? Why don't you watch the streets so that gang members can't approach kids and have them join? Like, there's so much we could be doing, and there's so much BLM could be doing with their, which is an amazing amount of power. I don't understand how they have so much power after all the bad things that they've done, but here it is, because people are emotional and not thinking. But I just don't, there's so much they could do positive with their influence, and instead they try to do this, and it's bad. It's a bad thing. We're going backward, just more and more backward.
Well, and do you think that is by design?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. A friend of mine, I think I said this to you last week, that a friend of mine showed me this video about, how racism in Israel. And I said, if you took I forget which station it was on, but I said, if you took the accents off of that video, it was a couple of YouTube videos he showed me. I said, that could be somebody in the United States very easily. It's the same mantra, harassed by the police, blah, 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 like all of the same stuff.
So, in other words, they're using the same playbook in Israel that they've used over here to essentially create the lawless atmosphere that we currently have, not solving a problem, but giving an entitlement to people to say, go ahead and steal from the stores. You have a right, because the stuff on those shelves really should belong to you anyway.
It sounds like a dog whistle. Isn't that what they say? It sounds like a dog whistle to tell black people to riot. That's what it sounds like to me, against the white person. Isn't that what they would say if, you know, President Trump said like this much of what they say every single day?
Sure. Sure. No. When you get, and then you have the I don't know if you want to, if they're sociologists, but of that ilk on the left who will say, well, this is something that is just, you know, and here's what's crazy. I'm going to say something and I'm going to get a lot of blowback on this.
Here we go.
So watch this. Okay. So what they say is that black people are conditioned because of slavery 100 years ago, and it's in their psyche to behave in a certain way. Now, that sounds to me like they're saying that black people are inbred to believe a certain thing. Now, listen to the word I said, inbred. That's the trigger word, right? Ah! Okay. But that's what they're saying.
That's the reason for I've heard that that's the reason for so many single mothers in the black community, was because they took our babies, and because they separated the man from the woman and the baby, and so therefore it's not anybody's fault. It's not our fault.
And we know that those
black
things,
people say that, by
right?
The way.
Well, and we know that those things took place. But then, how do you explain that coming out of as slavery ended,
right?
You had more intact black families by percentage, than you did white families.
Exactly.
By the late 1950s, early 1960s, the percentages of black intact families was something like 75% compared to 72% to white families.
Right.
So
how do you explain that?
Yeah.
That's usually what I bring up.
So all
like,
of a sudden,
actually, post slavery, we were doing a lot better.
Well, No, yes. And, you know, and again, here I go. I'm going to get myself, you know, I'm going to get, there's going to be some blowback or whatever, but that's okay. I've actually even heard, I don't want to say for certain, but I think it was Reverend Cunard that talked about, you know, he was like, you know, one of my guests said, I'm grateful for slavery. Because if it wasn't for slavery, we probably would have been wiped out in Africa.
I'm not going to go that far.
Well, no. I'm just saying.
But I understand the sentiment.
But
I get the
what
sentiment.
He was saying, yeah, he just was like, look, we came over. Yes, we went through it. Yes, it was, you know, that's not discrediting the ravages of it and all of the stuff that's associated with that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, there's been opportunities that necessarily wouldn't have existed.
Absolutely.
Look,
that's just a fact. Nobody wants to hear that. And what they'll do is they'll hear you say something like that, and they'll conflate it with you saying slavery was great. That's not what you said at all.
That's not what you're saying. That's not what you're saying. What you're saying is that the Bible is true, and that God works all things together for good. So he took something. I mean, think about it. Let me give you a scriptural example. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. Joseph was a slave. Joseph was a slave in one of the leader's homes when he was falsely accused and thrown into prison. And while he was in prison, he did an interpretation, and that interpretation ended up coming true, and the man who he interpreted the dream for told the Pharaoh, when he was trying to figure out his own dream, I think I know a guy that can help you. So Joseph, thrown into slavery unjustly, taken from his family, taken from his home, thrown into this foreign environment, then falsely accused, thrown into prison, comes out of prison, interprets a dream, and ends up being the second most powerful man in all of Egypt, and as a result of that, is able to rescue his family.
There you go.
So, was slavery good?
Of course not.
Probably not. Was it good that the brothers sold him because they were jealous of him? No, that was not nice. That was a bad thing.
That was pretty terrible.
But God worked it all out for the good because he had a plan. And you know, we've all, I mean, we can all track our history back. Look, my family, my on one side came over on the Mayflower. Now, you know, everybody, let's go back and understand who came over on the Mayflower.
Right.
Okay. How many times did those men, the wives actually were on a ship with no husbands because the husbands had gotten caught and were in jail, and the wives had to wait for them for probably, I think it was like 4 years for them to get out of prison. Okay. It wasn't like this was some jolly little holiday journey.
That's all right. Write about it though. That's how I talk about it.
This was fleeing to the new world because and yeah, oh, for the glory of the king, and they wrote that, but they also wrote to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. They wrote the Mayflower Compact because it wasn't that they were trying to be disloyal. They were just simply saying, hey, we have a conscientious conflict with how things are being done, and we want the ability to be able to live out our convictions, our deeply held convictions based on how we interpret and believe the word of God to say. Not in violence, not in a more loving way. We're looking at this and saying this work says that we should even be more civil, more loving than what we're being.
Civil is such a good word. Yeah.
And but they were, we gotta be clear here, they were fleeing. Because they were because everything they owned had been taken from them.
Terrible.
So it's, you know, it's not like they started out, you know, there are these misconceptions in history, Melanie, and I think it's important for people to understand the levels of persecution. Am I suggesting that it's the same as being, you know, stolen or taken or what have you? But even understand that the people who generally took the people from Africa initially were other Africans.
Oh yeah.
I know what some of the stories are, because I've been to some of the villages over in Africa, and as a white guy with a beard, I remember going into one of the villages and initially the children running And they would hide, and so the leader of the village said to me, he said their historical understanding is that white men with beards, they need to, you know, will take them or snatch them or whatever. And but what was cool was that by the end of the visit, we were playing hide and seek together.
Nice.
And then all the kids, you know, would come and we hugged one another, and it was, you know, it was beautiful. It was really, really beautiful. And I found out that actually the ones that they really had to be concerned about were other tribes in other villages.
Oh, 100%,
that would come in and raid and grab young girls and grab boys for labor, mm-hmm. and so on. And they had built their little hutches up high so they could get up off the ground. Their village would flood, and they would have to make sure they were in these high hutches so that they didn't get washed away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, some serious stuff.
Yeah, that's very serious. And, somebody posted on social media one time for Black History Month, whatever, make sure you teach the real history of what happened, how we were snatched. I said, make sure you talk about the Black folks that sold us. And if you want to make sure you bring the lesson full circle, make sure you talk about the slavery that's going on right now, today, that nobody talks about.
And make sure you talk about some of the guys that have sold the Black community out, like Barack Obama, like Al Sharpton, like Jesse Jackson, like Elijah Cummins,
Al Sharpton,
Al Sharpton. I mean, from what I can see, basically raised himself up on the backs of look at, I mean, I mentioned last half hour, Benjamin Crump is another one.
Oh, I don't like that guy at all.
Well, I mean, a lot of people don't know, and I'll have Joel Gilburn on today, but the girl that Benjamin Crump put on trial during Trayvon Martin, put on the stand, claiming to be Trayvon Martin's girlfriend, that wasn't her. Not only was it not her, but they assigned the girlfriend's name to someone that wasn't the girlfriend. In other words, it was identity fraud. And here's the kicker.
Oh, that's crazy.
If you watch Joel's documentary that he did, and all he did in his documentary was take all of the text messages from Trayvon for like the previous 6 months, and text messages from this girl, and he went and found, you know, and through FOIA requests got the text messages from all the parties that were involved. Okay, and lo and behold, he went into the Haitian community and he discovered, because there's kind of a identity fraud is a thing.
Well, yeah.
In the Haitian community, that's a way that some of them make a living, is by stealing other people's identities.
Very nice.
And so at any rate, that's exactly what happened in this particular case. And here's the issue. The evidence supports that Benjamin Crump knew that the woman that he was putting on the stand was not the girlfriend.
He could be disbarred. He just strikes me. His energy just strikes me as very dishonest. You can just tell.
It seems that way
to me. That's the vibe I get from him.
Yeah. Well, it certainly seems that way. And of course, he's, you know, now he's cemented himself as the the next generation of Al Sharpton. And remember how Sharpton started with a fake rape accusation.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And they should be ashamed of themselves. It's almost like they don't think they're going to die someday. It's almost like they don't really believe in God. Like, I feel like you don't. If you're going to like do all this stuff in God's name and you have to know that it's wrong, you just don't. You just don't care at all. You either just don't care or you know, you don't really believe God is a thing. But that those are my only conclusions.
The other piece to this that we're seeing as we close out is the prejudice against, you know, the Jewish people. But we've watched the same thing against conservatives. We watched against Milo Yiannopoulos, Candace Owens, Ben Shapiro, most recently Riley Gaines. As a black conservative, you face this every single day. You face cancellation and hostility for taking the values that most black people actually somewhere deep down really believe in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They really share. They really do share. I think it's very strange that on the one hand you say that you want to end racism, but on the other hand you say if you're black you have to believe X, Y, Z, because that's precisely what racists say. So I don't. I really. And then when you point this out, like, where's the logic? They usually come back with an emotional response, and you don't get anywhere.
And bordering on violence.
Yes. I mean, very emotionally upset.
Yeah.
I've had some people say some pretty nasty things to me on the internet, you know, the keyboard warriors.
So let me just, and we really don't have time to get into this. Maybe the next time I'll write this down and we can talk about this, because it, you know, when you talk about triggers or being triggered or what have you, we need to acknowledge the fact that in the mind of the person being triggered, those things are their reality. Even if they're not real, they're their reality. I guess the question that we've got to figure out is how do we help them? It's almost as though they're living in another world. And we, you and I, are the enemy of that world, in their opinion. I mean, we really are. They really look at us and say, you are the threat.
Yeah, which is really wild to me.
No,
like, how am I hurting you? I don't understand.
Right. Well, we'll
we just want to be left alone, generally. We just want to do our thing, believe what we want to believe, and be left alone. But they can't. They cannot seem to grasp that at all.
They can't let us have that space.
No. Mm-mm. Nope.
It's kind of like what Israel's battling to the sea. Think about it for a minute. It's kind of like that. It's like we're Israel, and they're saying, no, we've got to squash you. You can't have any space. You can't have any space.
Right. Like, the fact that they're like, no, you just can't exist. And the fact that that rhetoric is going on out in the open here in the United States should be startling to everyone.
Well, and that was something I brought up to David Justokas in our first half hour, and then we'll close with this. But John Adams said that our Constitution cannot stand without a moral people. And because of the avalanche of the idea of rights and freedoms and liberty, okay, and then self-guided morality. If you remove the morality, and the only and that's why, you know, you can argue, but I believe the source for that is God. He's the only one who is the absolute of that moral compass. But without that, you move very quickly towards anarchy.
Absolutely.
And I don't
see how they can't logically see it.
And
it's just, like, yeah. I mean, we've played these things out over and over again. Those of us on the conservative right played these. Look at the border. What did we say? They were so busy calling us racist that they didn't even think about, let's examine the logic and what they're saying.
And I've got a guess that I'm going to be bringing on who has evidence to support that he believes we're going to have an attack, a major attack, a terrorist attack here in the U.S. within the next 2 weeks.
Oh, probably. I have a relative who lives abroad, And their embassy was saying that. Oh, the very same thing.
Yeah. All right. Melanie, thank you very much. Hopefully we'll still be in one piece next week, at least one more week.
And thank you for having me. Wish me the best. Anybody who wants to say a little prayer for me, I'm sure I could use them. Election Day is
next week, next Tuesday. So next Wednesday, I hopefully will be talking to a new New Jersey state representative or commissioner.
Commissioner.
Yeah. That'll be awesome. All right. God bless you, Melanie. Thank you very much.
Bless you. Thanks, Pastor Greg.
See you next week. Yep. All right. We're taking a break. Rick Manning joins me on the other side. I'll be back with more coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your ClanSlate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your ClanSlate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size, regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned because their life matters, even if it means in that moment they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you're my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical lessons. Let me raise my seat just a minute. The seat collapses down, and then my little nameplate there is like over half my face. It's kind of interesting. Okay. There we go. All right. Looking better, I think. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe hiding behind the face thing wasn't so bad. All right. Well, hey.
Well, you said it, not me.
I did. I said it. Well, hey, I want to welcome my next guest. He is the president of Americans for Limited Government. He is my dear friend. He has been on the program for many years now and always brings us great insight from the Beltway. Why do they call it the Beltway? Anyway, let me ask Rick Manning.
The road that goes around the Washington, D.C. and it circles it, and everything inside has a certain way of thinking.
We call it a loop around San Antonio, but, you know, what do I know?
Well, then you'd have to say that everybody here was loopy.
Okay.
The self-designation didn't hold up.
They won't own the truth. Is that what you're trying to say?
Sure enough. Beltway has a connotation of something being restrained. So it's truly false advertising. We'll have to get the FTC on it.
Yeah. No question. Well, okay. So speaking of false advertising or not false advertising, let's ask the question. Mike Johnson has taken over as Speaker of the House. You know, he said a lot of good things, and now he's hit the ground, and he's hitting the Mitch McConnell GOP establishment wall, it sounds like. But give me your sense of what's going on. What's he having to give up? Is he having to compromise?
Well, let me tell you what he's done in the first real test. The establishment wants to combine the Ukraine vote and the Israel vote.
Yeah.
And he has said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to take the part of the request that is direct military material aid to Israel, and we are going to do that. And that is, we're going to isolate it out. It's $14.3 billion, still a lot of money. And then we're going to do something really crazy. We're going to say, before we're not going to just pass that and say we're just going to spend the money. We're going to say, well, what are our priorities? Well, spending $14.3 billion extra on the IRS is not a priority. So we're going to take the money from the IRS spending, and we're going to put it over here into the Israel package. Actually doing something which we kind of think we send these guys here to do, which is set priorities. Mm-hmm. And he's saying the Israeli spending is more important than the IRS spending. Hence, we are going to make that shift. It's called an offset, a budget offset. It's required by law, by the way. They just often don't do it. So, you know, his first test from a legislative standpoint in terms of what he's presented to the House of Representatives is he has passed with flying colors.
All right. Now, I guess the question is, can he get what he's proposing through the Senate?
What I think you're going to end up with is a pretty, you know, you're going to end up with a compromise in terms of what you're going to get. You know, he's not Speaker of the Senate. He's Speaker of the House, and he's going to get through what he can get through in the House. I do believe he's going to fight, that there'll be a significant fight against the $105 billion package. And I do believe that he will be able to win in terms of isolating out aspects of the package that Joe Biden wants and forcing it to be considered separately. And I'm going to refer specifically to two areas in the package that Biden submitted that the Senate would, let's just be honest, the Senate would rubber stamp. And I believe, and I think it's quite probable that the House would have rubber stamped in the previous administration. But, you know, let's just talk about two aspects of it. One aspect is giving money through the UN to Hamas and Palestinian Authority, which is nothing more than under the guise of humanitarian aid. That's nothing more than funding terrorism. That is nothing more, nothing less. They can't hide it. The UN had the Iranian foreign minister speak in New York just the other day, attacking Israel, attacking the United States, and essentially promising full scale Iranian attacks against the people of Israel. Mm-hmm. So we know that their proxies in Hamas and in the north and or in south in Lebanon and Hezbollah,
right?
And the people they're sending, reports are the Iranians are sending people to the West Bank to try to attack from the east.
Yep.
Jordan from the east. And those are, you know, that, you know, you can't give money through the UN. The UN is a wholly owned subsidiary of Terrorism Inc. So that's stupid. And it won't, I don't think it'll actually hold muster. I don't think they'll be able to get the votes for that. And that's because of what Mike Johnson is doing. I think they're not going to get the votes. You know, Biden has money he wants for border. So he calls it border security, but what it really is, it's just passing through the border, processing people and then paying for them to be transported around the country and then giving them welfare. So that's essentially, I think they're going to have a fight over that and a separate consideration in the House of that. You know, you want to spend the money. Great. Well, let's spend the money, but let's go ahead and let's actually spend it on border security and ensuring that we, in fact, have secure borders and we're not just allowing 3 million people to come across that we know of, another 500,000 coming across that we don't know of, and then a million coming across who we are actually authorizing to come across. I don't think anybody in Congress ever signed up for 4.5 million illegal or immigrants coming into this country in 2023, and yet that's what we actually got.
Well, and I've got a guess that I'm going to be bringing on who has evidence he believes that we're looking at a pending terrorist attack sometime in the next 2 weeks. And my previous guest, Melanie Collette, said that she has a friend in a foreign country and that their embassy has actually put out a warning not to travel to the United States because they believe that there's going to be a terrorist attack take place here sometime in the next 2 weeks.
Well, it certainly wouldn't surprise. It's a we have opened the borders to the terrorists, to people who hate us, and we have focused our counterintelligence efforts on including the terrorists. A lot of the people who are actually fomenting terrorism are part of the Department of Homeland Security fusion centers that work with local law enforcement to try to root out terrorism. Our system, we are completely infiltrated, and so, would I be surprised? No, I would not be surprised by something really terrible happening. You can't let a bunch of people who hate you come into the country and then have an international jihad called from Iran and expect that people who you've let in who hate you, who would answer the call, came here specifically for the purpose of answering the call for international jihad, aren't going to be activated to do something major to try to make a point. That's a, I pray that we're able to stop it, interdict it and stop it. But who in this world could be surprised at that?
Even more authoritative even than just Iran, the Iranian call is actually echoing a message that I saw. I've shared this a couple of times in the last few weeks, but since the attack. But I was responding to my friend Aaron Wolf, who's a producer out in Hollywood, Jewish gentleman, and I was posting, he posted about praying for Israel, and I posted in agreement with that. And after I clicked it, right above my post was a post by someone claiming to be an imam. It certainly looked, based on what I saw and going to the page, it looked like it was an imam. And he said that from Mecca this year, they were instructed that this is going to be what they called Sakar. S-A-Q-A-R, which is basically a purging or a cleansing of infidels. And this was going to be the winter of the summer of Sakar. And it was supposed to, now he indicated that it was not going to begin until December 21st of 2023, which would be about, 6 weeks out from now, approximately?
Right. Which tells everybody, we got six, now it's more than that, because we only have 6 more weeks of shopping before Christmas, and that's not true. So it's probably more like 10 weeks, but yes, I think we got 10 weeks of shopping before Christmas, Greg. So let's put that's the...
It's 7 weeks. It's 7 weeks.
December 21st is 7 weeks from now.
7 weeks. 7 weeks from this Thursday.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, 7 weeks from this. So from 7 weeks from tomorrow. So 1, 2, 3, four.
All this talk of terrorism, is frightening. But the idea that it's 7 weeks to Christmas,
five, six, seven. I'm in trouble. Yeah, seven weeks
until I have to have my Christmas shopping done is now that's really putting sweat on my brow.
Yeah, I hear you.
With the situation, man. I'm not surprised by the only thing I'm surprised is we're this close to Christmas. There has been. There's a reason why we have a Russia across our border. There's a fundamental reason for that. There's a reason why our college campuses have people threatening anybody who's Jewish and trying to and making college campuses unsafe for people who happen to be Jewish. There's a reason for that. They've already been making it unsafe for people who are practicing Christians. And let's just be real. They've had an attack on Christian faith on campuses for a while now, but it was okay because we were the majority, so they could attack us. But now I don't think it was okay, but that was their rationale. But now you see it being emptied out in terms of people of Jewish faith. And it is the fact that our colleges have allowed this to occur, the fact that our colleges have normalized this under the guise of free speech. It is not free speech. You do not have a right to yell fire in a crowded theater unless unless there's actually a fire in the crowded theater. So right. Those are, you know, let's just be real. We've been seeing the precursor to this for a while. And anybody who would be surprised by a multi-city terrorist event, uprising, riots, and the like, fomented by an event that most likely will be a false flag kind of thing. I don't usually use that term, but I think about the Hamas hospital that wasn't bombed, certainly not by Israelis. 500 people didn't die, and yet nobody ever clarified the fact that 500 people didn't die. Nobody ever clarified the fact that the hospital is still standing. It was those are the kind of events that people use
right
to trigger outcomes. And so given the complicity of the media to repeat false narratives and with no repercussions, they're able to light the fuse. And no amount of truth can put out a fuse once lit amongst people who are filled with hate and have an intent on doing and destroying things and are afraid to die.
Well, and you know, I remember from years ago talking with, you know, professionals in the area of bodyguards and you know, people who you know, Secret Service and others, and every single one of them said, look, if the person who's trying to kill the person that you're protecting is willing to die in that cause, the percentages of your ability to be able to prevent any injury from happening is reduced significantly, because
of course
most you know, like your Hinckleys and your, you know, I mean, those kinds of people, they didn't want to die. They were just crazy, whatever, or they were mad or what have you. But they weren't attacking with the intent of we're prepared to blow ourselves up or whatever it takes to kill the target. And that is what we're dealing with when we're dealing with these terrorists. They are more than willing, generally speaking, to die in the course of doing what they're doing.
Well, and yes, it's why suicide, you know, Israel has a lot of defenses, yet suicide bombers still succeed, because if you're willing to pack your car or truck with a bunch of explosives and drive it and detonate it, well, you know, it's almost impossible to interdict. So, you know, we have there's people who know a lot more about this than I do. What I know is a very simple fact. We've had a policy for 3 years of allowing anybody who wants to come into our country to come into our country. We've allowed those people to have connections, by and large, with the human traffickers who have brought them across, being the cartels. The cartels have arrangements with both the Chinese and the Iranian government. And so our Hezbollah training facilities in Venezuela, and we have a bunch of people coming from Venezuela north and have come north over the time. And we have effectively welcomed them, and we've shipped them to all of our cities across the country. So we've effectively created a network, and we haven't tracked them. So, you know, what if you wanted to set up a scenario where you could have a terrorist attack, a mass terrorist attack that was devastating, not just for one city and one locale, but was devastating in 10, 20 cities, right? We have done everything as a government policy to facilitate that. Mayorkas hasn't been impeached. You know, figure it out. I can't. I mean,
it makes no sense. Yeah, no, it absolutely makes no sense. And I think that, you know, that assessment, I mean, every border security expert that I've talked to has been making, you know, that same argument, you know, that we have these people. And I've even talked to people. I mean, back in March, they said there were 289 terrorists on the watch list that they had identified were loose.
Yep.
Now listen, here. Okay, so this should scare us. So in March, the number is 289. Now, on October 9th or 10th, roughly 2 to 3 days after the attack in Israel, CBP suddenly decides to release some numbers. Now it's only 158. Well, what happened to the other 131? And then on top of that, oh, by the way, there's 6,200 and some odd Afghanistan releasees whose background and origin and everything else we don't know. We don't know anything about these people.
Ironically, we couldn't get the ones that we did know who've been helping. We couldn't get those through the Biden security system, but somehow we ended up with a whole bunch of people who we don't know, and we don't seem to have much interest in knowing. It is a, you know, like I say, Greg, if you wanted to set up a scenario where we were subject to a mass terrorist attack by trained military personnel, trained terrorists, not the ones who they send fools out to get blown up, the ones who send the fools. We've turned our control of many of our cities over to these people. Yeah. And at the same time, we've denuded our police departments by virtue of this, defund the police movement. We've demoralized our police departments. Our police departments are no longer interdicting. They're cleanup crews, not interdiction against crime. And as a result, we now are in a position where the line of defense at the local level has been decimated and demoralized. And we put master terrorists onto each one of the streets who controls an army. Gee, what could go wrong?
It's really something else. It is really, really something else. So, let's see. Okay. All right. So this was in Birmingham. I guess there's a Birmingham in the UK.
Yep. Major manufacturing location, blue collar.
Say that again. Major what? You broke up.
Major steel manufacturing center.
Okay. Well, there were thousands of pro-Palestinian protesters. They basically took over the streets in the city.
Yep. In London, the police they wouldn't interdict against a massive pro-Palestinian rally, but they're taking down, photos of the kidnapped victims of Hamas.
Yep.
Because they don't want to stir up trouble. So that's that's in London.
Well, and
I got that information. Somebody's headline was London has fallen.
And they are they're arresting Christians, and have been. If you got onto the same streets carrying a cross, and you know John 3:16 on a banner, they will arrest you.
Well, it just goes to show that when you're in a postmodern world, you're tolerant, the government that gets created is tolerant of everything but truth.
Yeah. All right. Our time is over. Folks, let me leave you with this. As believers, as followers of Christ, I want you to meditate on 1 John chapter 5. We have him in us who has overcome the world. We need to take our authority. I want you to meditate on Ephesians chapter 3 and the prayer that Paul talks about, that you might know the height and the depth and the width and the circumference of the love of Christ in your heart, and then that you might pray with the power and authority of knowing that he who is in you is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can think or ask, according to the Holy Spirit working in us. We as believers right now have a responsibility. Yes, we've got to call, we've got to act, we've got to, there's a lot of things we can do in the physical realm. But if we don't take care of fighting this fight at its root, and the root of all of this is satanic, it's demonic, and it's evil. And we, as believers and followers of Christ, have been given the tools and the authority to go to war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places. We have that authority. And when we will rise up, if the sons of God will manifest and rise up, as creation has been crying out, as Scripture has prophesied, if we will do that, then while we are here, the light will turn back so much of this darkness. But we've got to start doing it, and we've got to start now. And that's the word of encouragement. There is something you can do, and it truly begins by turning your face to him, to our Father in heaven. Rick, bless you.
Bless you. Amen. We'll see you next week.
You got it. All right, we're taking a break, folks. We'll be back. I'll have Michael Morris. He's going to be on the line. He's waiting for me right now. But we'll take our break, and we will be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have ClanSlight. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlight is a formula that's made from a natural ortho-silic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at